All right. Alyssa is behind me for a reason. She's going to speak today to us. And thank you all for your prayers. Thank you all. I know with Daniel, thank you for your prayers. Make sure you pray for each other and keep a prayer list. But every having Daniel go through a worship service for us is we'll take one miracle at a time. Amen. So we're happy about that, and we're just thanking God for that. But thank you for your prayers, and let's just take a moment to pray over Alyssa and as she gives forth the word today. Heavenly Father, I just pray for your anointing and your guidance, Lord, today for Alyssa. She just gives us a word that she's heard from you and Lord, I pray that we listen and we open our hearts and we open our spirits to receive, Lord, because you have a message for us every single time. And if we listen, you said in your word, those who hear, those who open their ears and hear, then we can understand. And we want to understand more about you and more about living for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, yes, this is definitely an honor and not something that I'm always comfortable doing. You know what the biggest fear people have in the world? Do you know what it is? Public speaking. That is the biggest fear that people have in this world. So anybody want to come and read my script for me? No? Okay. All right. I'll do it. But yeah, this is an honor. And I say this is definitely something God put into my head, put in my heart, and I've been living it for the last 2 weeks, and I've really seen a change in my attitude and my love for God and my trust in Him. So I really think it shall, well, don't want to get over cocky, but I hope it does the same for you. Amen. All right, well, life is full of battles, right? You're either in a battle right now or you just came out of one, right? Or you're headed into one you don't even know it's coming. So life is full of battles. And 2 weeks ago, I was driving the kids to school and I was just like, oh, God, life is so hard. Why do I have to do this? And dropped off the kids and I was still in this, why me kind of attitude. And I was just driving and it takes me about 10 minutes dropping off the kids at school. I'm heading to work. It takes about 10 minutes. So I've got 10 minutes. I usually have the radio on. Oh, I've ordered my Starbucks on my Starbucks app, and I'm like already excited to go get my cinnamon dulce latte something. But 10 minutes. So in that 10-minute drive that day, I was just still poor me kind of attitude. And I said, Lord, what do I do? And these words were just like, boom. You ever had that experience where someone's just yelling in your ear and you're like, shh, you don't need to yell? Well, I felt like God was yelling in my ear, be bold, be courageous, be humble. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, what was that? And I was like, okay, that must have been from God, because that is definitely not my personality to be bold or be courageous. Humble, yes. But the other two, that's not me. I have always been a shy kid that had the preachers as parents, just kind of tagged along. They even nicknamed me the tag-along kid because I would just kind of go with the flow. Didn't bring any attention to myself, and I liked it that way. But then as an adult, I just followed along with the DS. Oh, the DS is the pastor. I'll just tag along too. So being bold and being courageous is not me. But when God told me to do that, I said, okay, that was definitely not a me, Alyssa thought. So what the heck? Let's try it. So I tried it for 2 weeks, and I'll tell you about it. But I also wanted you to think about yourself. Who's going through a battle right now? Keep your hand up. Who just came through one? And who doesn't know one's coming yet? All right, so look to somebody and say, God's got this. I trust Him. Amen. So God's got it. So if God tells you to do something, like He told me, be bold, be courageous, be humble. If He tells you to do it, why not? Give it a try. It was God's idea, not yours, right? Amen. So I thought about it on my way to work, as I said. And at first I thought, well, what's the difference? I thought being bold and being courageous was kind of the same thing. Aren't they synonyms? So I started thinking about it before I got to Starbucks, actually. I was like, what's the difference between boldness and courageous? So I thought about it, and I wrote it down because it was pretty good. The difference is that bold means not being afraid of danger or difficult situations. But being bold can also have a very negative thought with it. It could also be overconfident, that sometimes people see it as you're being rude or arrogant. Wow, that was pretty bold. And they give you that face. But in a positive way, it's you're not afraid of the difficult situations. Amen? But courageous means to have the mental and moral strength to persevere through that danger and difficult situation. So there's a little difference there. And of course, we all know humble. Humble means, anybody want to volunteer? What is that, Brother Hector? Yeah, getting down on your knees and putting others before yourself, right? Putting others first. So I thought, okay, I got to be bold. Got to be fearless, basically. And I've got to be courageous. That means I got to persevere. I've got to have that character to say I'm not going to give up. And then I've got to put others before myself. And that was pretty deep, huh? That's deep, especially for a shy little kid like me. So at that moment, I knew that God was telling me, I need to be bold, so don't be afraid, and have the strength to persevere through the fear you have and any difficulties you're going to face. And in all of that, stay humble. Don't be cocky. Don't think, ooh, I got through that trouble today. Ooh, that was me. I'm good. No, it's always God. It is definitely not me. So as I said, I really grabbed onto that, and I said, okay, how can I take this into my work life, my spiritual life, my family life? So, of course, I was at work, so I thought, what am I going to do today that's going to make these three things happen? I wasn't sure yet, and I said, all right, God, I'll go with you. Wherever you take me, I'll do it. So I ended up, I got to work with my little Starbucks cup. I was happy. And I go into work, and I'm like, oh, gosh, this problem at that school, I'm checking all these emails, that problem's still happening. I better go take a visit to that school. So I go to the school to do an observation so I can report out to the principal, what's the problem, how can they fix it? Because that's my job, unfortunately. So off I went, get to the school. I see that one of the computer labs, there's 15 computers not working. I was like, okay, well, that's one problem. You got 64 kids and 15 are just sitting around doing nothing. Problem. Because what do kids do when they have nothing to do? Any teacher in here? Get in trouble, misbehave, harass everybody else, and you can't get anything done. So 15 kids are going wild. I said, okay, that's a problem. So I pull out the teacher. I said, what's going on? She said, I've already told the principal. I've already told the techie. Nobody can fix these computers. I said, got it. Let me see what I can do. So I went out in the hallway by myself, and I thought about it. How can I be bold, courageous, and humble in this situation? Because this is not my school, and I don't want to overstep my bounds. This is my job to fix it. So how am I going to fix it? And I said, all right, God, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be courageous. I'm just going to do it. So I got on my laptop, typed an email. This is a problem. I need a report immediately. That's pretty bold for me to say, I need it immediately. You're like, ooh. And when you type an email, you put a little subject line so they see it. Oh, it's from Melissa. What's the topic? I put, what did I put? Urgent update. Just the word urgent freaked me out. And I was like, maybe I should have put urgent. And I was like, you know what? I am going to be bold and get her done. So I put urgent update. I hadn't even gone and closed my laptop. And ding, there was an email back. I'm like, oh, okay. Thought it was somebody else. But no, it was the tech. The techie for the school emails me, I'm on it. I'm going to call you right now. I'm like, oh, okay. Call them. They give me their excuse. I'm like, okay. Put my phone down. Go to close my laptop again. Ding, there's another email from the principal this time. And she's like, I'm on it. Give me a quote. I'm like, wow. And she calls me. I'm like, okay, so we have a conversation. We have a quote. The business clerk is ordering it. And this all happens in 15 minutes. And it has taken this poor computer lab teacher since August to get any movement on this poor lady. Poor thing. So I go back in and I tell her, hey, you're going to have some new computers in about 2 weeks. And she tears up. She's like, no. I said, yeah. She's like, do you know that I was with a coworker And we were praying yesterday. And I didn't know she was even a Christian. She doesn't know I'm a Christian either. She said, we were praying for someone to come and do something to help me. She says, you are God's angel today. And I was like, thought about it. Wait, Alyssa, don't be cocky. I could so take the credit for this. I so could. I said, don't. And I was about to say, yeah, thank you. That's my job. But then I was like, no, don't do that. I was like, it wasn't me. I wasn't even supposed to be at your school today. This is God's work. And she's like, I believe it. I believe it. And I was like, ooh, it's like you were just bold and you're courageous and you were so humble. And then I was like, ah, stop it. You aren't that humble. You're taking the credit again. So that was something in my life where God told me something and I trusted him. And I didn't freak out and say, no, that wasn't for me. Let me go home and tell him, yes, it must be for him to go preach somebody. Yeah. But I took it, and I let God do something amazing that this little timid person doesn't always do. And it's also helped me a lot with Daniel. You guys saw last week how Daniel can go. And Ronnie and Nina and some other ladies, they saw how Daniel can go when he's in the parking lot and decides he doesn't want to be at Walmart and takes off. And you're racing down the street after him. So it's not always easy with Daniel. And a lot of times when he would get so angry and aggressive and try to break my arm and all this other craziness, I would just be so freaked out and scared and not know what to do. But these last 2 weeks when he would get upset, I would just stand there with God's courage, persevering through it and being bold. There was nothing humble about it, but the other two counted. And being bold and saying, God, this is not my Daniel. This anger, this aggression and violence is not Daniel's character. So we're going to stand here and we're going to rebuke the enemy that's attacking him in his mind. So I've taken that into work, into my home, and also into my spiritual relationship with God. So I'm like, okay, God, maybe I'm not doing enough with you in our relationship. So I'm going to push on through this and I'm going to be bold and spend time with you. And say, God, what else you got? I'm ready to take it. Come on, bring it on, God. I'm ready. But there's a thought that came to me that Elias has been preaching about take the ground or taking ground. And I thought, how does that tie into this? Because I don't want to go all the way out in left field and distract from the theme that God's been giving the church this year. So I thought, okay, taking the ground. Well, how can we take ground if we're not doing these three things? Are you going timid and saying, oh, God, I have this trouble, I have this problem. Well, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. No. Get up, be bold, be courageous, and push through it. And if there's situations where you need to be humble, don't take the credit. Say, God took this, and God made this happen. Amen? So whatever you're praying for, you want a miracle, you want a situation to either completely end and be gone with it, or you want a situation to improve where you can show God's mercy through it. Amen? So we are going to take the ground this year, keeping these three things in mind. They are up here, right? Yeah. Okay. I'm hoping they're there. So, yes. So we're going to take the ground. We're going to be bold. We're going to be courageous. And we're going to be humble. Well, let's look in the Word of God to see examples of where people did this. One example is Esther. And we don't even need to look at it. I'll just narrate it for you. She had to save her people. And she had a choice to either be a weakling and just say, okay, I'm just going to let God take care of this. She didn't. She took the boldness and went into the king and made things happen. Not through her power, but through God's. Amen? Well, let's look at another situation actually and read that one. Let's look in Acts chapter 3. Acts 3, verse 1. Amen. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And there might be a little difference in what's up on the screen than what I'm reading because I am addicted to the New International Version because it sounds like more English to me. But King James Version will be up on the screen. All right. Verse 1 says, one day Peter and John were coming up to the temple at the time of prayer, which was at 3 in the afternoon. Verse 2. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Well, that's a beautiful name for a gate. I hope it wasn't ugly, because that would just be solely not right. To the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Well, that's what beggars do. You ask for money. And then verse 4 says, Peter looked straight at him as he did John. Then Peter said, look at us. I was like, oh, I could just imagine this, you know, in my mind. When Sarah and Casey started learning how to read, I told them, visualize what you're reading as a movie in your head, and you'll understand it better. And it's worked out pretty good. What do you say, Casey? All right. Sarah says it works for her, so I'll go with that. So I had just imagined, and I thought about it. I'm like, here's a beggar, probably looking pretty dirty. You know, he's got to look like he really needs some help. And here's Peter and John, who probably don't look much better because they're disciples and they don't really have millions of dollars to spread around. So here's a beggar dirty on the ground, two disciples probably looking a little rugged or rough themselves. And he's like, you want money? Look at us. What do you think you're going to get from us? We don't have millions of dollars to just hand off into your little pocket. We don't got it. But then he said something pretty cool. Let's see, verse 5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He said, yeah, what do you got? Yeah, come on. Verse 6 says, then Peter says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then I imagine, what was his expression at that moment? Was it like, are you crazy? Do you know I'm getting tongue-tied because I'm so excited. His legs and his ankles didn't work. We don't know why. He just couldn't walk. And he's like, you just told me to stand up and walk? Crazy. But the next part's pretty cool, too. Verse 8 says, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Wow. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Well, let's see what happens when they get in there. Verse 9 says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Yeah, think yourself. If you had seen someone who could not walk in our time, let's say they were in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden they come into our church and they're no longer in a wheelchair, what would you be thinking at that moment? You want to know, how did this happen? Who did it? Well, in verse 11, we find a little bit more. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. So when they stood at the gate, they were pretty humble and said, look, we got nothing. But then they got bold and said, but we do have something even better than just plain old money. We can't give you coins, but we can give you your life restored and returned. And that's basically what they were doing. Because if you were a beggar back in this Bible times, there was no hope for you. But what they did give him was hope by simply saying, stand up. And he had to have some boldness in his heart, too, to say, all right, let me even try. Because he could have been pretty weak and just said, no, I'm not even going to try. But he was bold, too, and he took the chance. Are you willing to take a chance? Amen. But I thought about Peter as well. They were really bold, didn't have any hesitation or doubt. when they told him to get up. But the most powerful part for me was when they were totally courageous and told the people off. He told them off. He didn't stand there and say, oh, yeah, it was us. Yeah, yeah, shh, we'll just go over here and hide. No, he was like, I'm going to tell you the truth about what just happened and let it be a testimony of Jesus Christ. And then he got pretty bold again, and he wasn't afraid when he told them, you are the ones that killed the man who just made this healing happen. I'm pretty impressed. I don't know if I'm ready for that. God's got me on a journey, and I am not quite there yet to go in and be that bold and that courageous. I'm ready to be humble, but I don't know about the other two parts. What's that little song? I'm under construction. God's still working on me. He definitely is. So I think that is a powerful thing for us to look at. We may not be that bold or that courageous yet, but if we think back to where Peter came from, he wasn't that bold and courageous at the beginning either. But he didn't stop. And please don't stop. No matter how difficult it is, every little victory, you're going to get closer to that strength that God wants you to have. And it's not even your strength, it's his strength that he's putting in you. Amen? Well, there's one more story. Pretty familiar. We probably don't even need to read it, but we're going to anyway. It's about David and Goliath. But there's some things I want to point out so we can just really internalize all of this. And I can't find it in my Bible. But it is 1 Samuel. There we go. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're starting all the way down at the actual story at verse 32. And let's see, how was David bold? How was he courageous? And how was he humble in the David and Goliath story so we can learn a little bit more from him? So at verse 32, it reads, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight him. Ooh, that is not Alyssa right now. That's a tough one. Your servant will go and fight him. And remember, David is not the trained soldier like all the other people in the army. He's just this little shepherd boy or teenager. I think somebody told me once he was maybe 14, 16, something like that. To have that boldness means he's gone through some trials, and he has no doubt that God's going to get him through this one that is huge, 18 feet huge, Goliath huge. And he's not afraid. So let's read on a little bit more. Verse 33, King Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. So Saul is looking with his eyes and comparing. You're a skinny little shepherd boy. He's a warrior. It's like sending, let's see, no offense, Matt, but a skinny Matthew, who's only in sixth grade, out to defeat Thor. Superhero Thor. Can you see that movie star guy and Matthew standing in face to face in a battle? Who do you think's going to win? Matt? Ooh, you got a lot of fans here, Matt. You got a lot of fans. All right. Go, Matt. All right, well, picture that. That's the situation. You've got a young little shepherd boy and a giant. It looks pretty impossible with human eyes and human thought. But let's read, because King Saul has a lot of doubts, too. Verse 34 says, oh, and this is where David gets pretty bold, a little courageous as well. He said, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. Can you imagine that? Oh, give me my little sheep back. Seized him by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Didn't just smack it, beat it with a rock. I killed it. Because that means he's not coming back, right? Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. So he's being bold again, courageous. He is not afraid of what's coming, and he's going to have the character to stand there and take it. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." What just happened? First the king was like, "Mm-mm, you can't go." And now the king says, "Yes, go." What made that difference? I don't think I could have changed my mind. I'm like, "You're still skinny, you're still short." But something happened. David had the courage and the boldness to look a king in the eye and say, "No worries. God got me through that. God will get me through this." And he's like, "Okay, let's try it. What are we going to lose? We're going to die anyway, right?" No, he's like, "Okay, let's see. God has been with you. Maybe God will be with you again." Then verse 38 says, "Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them." Okay, here I'm like, okay, Saul's a little freaked out. He's like, "I just agreed to let you go, but you're still not a warrior. So let's at least make you look like one. Maybe your look will intimidate somebody. Who knows?" So he's got all this garb, all this stuff on. But then David says, "I can't go in this. I cannot go in this." I'm thinking, Saul was an adult, probably pretty muscular. He was a king. David's probably still not fully grown. So, yeah, they don't fit. And I also thought about it. It doesn't fit because that's not his personality. If God sends me out to a battle, he's going to send me a different way than he would Elias. Because my personality is different. And Elias' personality is way different than mine. We have very different opinions on how do you wash the dishes. Or how do you take care of something? Very different personalities, 100%. Opposites attract. That's a dog, you know. We are true evidence of that. But David's like, "This is not me. I can't go fight a battle in something that's not me. I need to do this, me and God. Me and God, just the way we are, have done amazing things before. Don't try to make me you, because it's not going to work." So think about that. You don't need to try to be someone else because you saw them get through something before. You've prayed for a miracle, and you've seen somebody else get it, and you don't get yours. Amen? That happened to me when our little girl was born preemie and didn't make it. Yet my friend in Ireland had her little boy, and he made it. Why? Why us and why them? You know, why? It doesn't matter. They've got their own struggles, and we've got our own struggles. But we have to handle situations the way God gives them to you and have courage. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's go to verse, let's just go back to 39. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go on these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Good for you, David. That's not you anyway. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. So that's David. Got some rocks. Got my little sling here. I'm going to just get him with a stone. Because that's me. And that's me and God. That's how we handle things. So verse 41 says, "Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him." Well, he's too big. He can't even carry his own sword and his shield. He's pretty cocky. "Keep coming," and they come closer to David. Verse 42, "He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks and a stone?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." Verse 44, "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." He's looking at David as, "You are no competition to me. And just come on, let's just get it over with, and I'll lay your little body down, and we'll let the birds and the animals have a feast." And David's like, "Well, really? Let's try this." Verse 45, here comes David's boldness, his courage. "And David said to the Philistine, 'You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. A little bit more power in that one. The God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Ooh, here comes some boldness. Right? And I will strike you down and cut off your head. Not the other way around. I'm going to get you. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Well, I think there's a piece of humbleness right here at the end. He says, all those gathered here will know that it's not me who did this. He's immediately saying, you're going to die, but I'm not going to take the credit. God's going to get the victory, and God's going to get all the credit, because the Lord saves, and the battle is the Lord's. Even before the victory came, he's telling Goliath, and I'm sure the Israelites were like, what did he say? What did he say? I'm sure they heard it, and they believed the victory is the Lord's. So when we go into battle, church, don't try to take some weapon that's not yours. You go in with your weapons that God has equipped you with. You may not speak in tongues, but you still have God's power. Amen? And even if you do speak in tongues and you get too shy and you don't use them very often, bring it back out. That is a weapon that God has given you. Don't be afraid to use it. It is real. And it's got some pretty awesome power behind it. Amen? So David was pretty bold, pretty courageous to even take a foot and step out into that field. But then he was humble when he didn't take the credit for it. Well, I want to finish off this story because I love it. 48 says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly. Ooh, there goes the boldness again. He didn't just kind of sneak up onto Goliath. He ran out. He's like, I'm coming for you. He ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Verse 49, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the head. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword, and even his hand, without the armor, with nothing but a little rock and a little slingshot. David triumphed over him. And then, as we all know, he took Goliath's sword, and just to make sure it was done, chopped off his head, just to make sure he wasn't just unconscious. You know, let's just make sure this is done. And just as the Philistine had teased and told David, I'm going to feed you to the animals, no, David got to do that instead. He got to feed Goliath to him. So we need to know that wherever we are, God's going to protect us. We've got to have some boldness, not in our own abilities, but in God's abilities. Amen? Amen. So in 2018, if we're going to take the ground and we are going to make things happen for God, not for ourselves, then we have got to be bold, courageous, and humble. Amen? So don't think you're going to do this on your own power. So let's just look at three quick scriptures. We're going to go to Romans 8:31. So we can get some encouragement to say, yeah, I'm going to be bold, I'm going to be courageous, and I'm going to be humble. But how do I do that on my own power? You don't. We need God's power. So let's just get some encouragement from the word. Romans 8, down to verse 31. This is even in the song today, Michelle, so you're right on point. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? What do we say, God? Church, if God be with us, who can be against us? Let's read it again. If God be for us, who can be against us? So turn to someone beside you and say it again. If God be with us, who can be against us? That takes some boldness right there, doesn't it? No matter what, I am going to be bold and I'm going to push through. I'm going to have the courage to persevere because I am not going to lose this battle. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the next one. First Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20. it said, okay, this is David later on in life, and he's talking to his son. So, you know, David's been through a lot of ups and downs. Yes, he killed Goliath, but then he sinned with Bathsheba. And then, you know, he danced in front of the temple. He's done a lot of different things. So he's got a lot of wisdom. So he's giving some of this wisdom to his son. Chapter 28, verse 20. David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my Almighty, he is with you. So think to yourself. Tell yourself that. Be strong and courageous. Do the work. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for God is with me. I'm not alone. He will not fail me. He will not forsake me until the work is done. Amen. Amen. One more. Joshua 1, verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And I don't remember how it said. Yes. It starts off with, have I not commanded you? And this is like, wise up, I've told you this. And I read this one, I was like, yep, God has told me this so many times. And I always need reminded again and again and again. But God is gracious and he keeps telling me again and again and again. But verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, whatever trial you're facing, God is with you. So let's not be discouraged. Let's not be afraid. Instead, what are we going to be, church? We're going to be bold, be courageous, and we're going to be humble. Amen. So if you are ready this year to say, I'm going to be bold, I'm going to be courageous, and I'm going to be humble, I want you to stand. If you're going to be bold, you're going to be courageous, and you're going to be humble. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our prayer. Heavenly Father, you've shown us examples in your word where we shouldn't be just standing aside and letting the devil have the victory. But Lord God, we need to go into the battle. And as David did, we need to run into the battle, not afraid, but bold, courageous, and humble, not taking the credit. So Father, I pray that before we leave this church, Father, each one of our hearts will be determined to say, I am going into my battle with boldness, with courage, and with humility at the end when God makes it all happen, when God makes the miracle take place. Father, there's no greater victory than the one that you bring. Lord God, I'm reminded of that song. I don't want blessings, I want you. And in this, Father, as we stand against the devil and his enemies, and we say, I'm going to be bold and I'm going to look you in the eye, devil, and say, you will not have the victory. Because I am chasing after my God. And after we chase and thirst and hunger after our King of Kings, we will have the victory. And in turn, we will see the blessings. But don't be deceived, everyone in this building. Don't be deceived. God doesn't give blessings just to throw them out, just to pass them out. There's got to be some commitment at the start. And there will be changes this year in your life. There will be victories. There will be miracles. But we've got to stand tall in our faith. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be courageous. And I'm going to be humble. And I'm going to be a witness to my family, to my friends, to my church family, to my co-workers, that yes, that battle was there. And I ran straight towards it and said, come on, devil, what do you got? Because God's power is so much more stronger. And Father, as we take the ground this year, let it be a theme that we don't run away from and being scared, but that we take it head on, trusting in you, in your precious name. Holy Spirit, we need you. Amen. Amen.